We will.
Okay, good luck.
And I want to have to start. Let me therefore declare this meeting open. And we want to welcome all our guests who are present here in this important meeting, but further welcome the members of parliament, media, to this meeting. My name is Findi, and my surname is Chikunga. I'm the chairperson of the Portfolio Committee on Police. I come from Mpumalanga province. I will allow members of parliament to each one introduce himself or herself, and then we'll continue with our meeting.
Good morning, everybody in the house. My name is Molebogeng Christina Dube, member of parliament, also member of the ANC. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Annelies van Wyk, member of parliament and also member of the ANC, coming from the Western Cape.
Good morning. My name is Craig Schneeman, member of this Portfolio Committee on Police, also member of parliament from the ANC, and I'm from Gauteng.
Good morning. My name is Angie Mulibati, a member of the ANC from Gauteng province and a member of this committee. Thank you.
Sanbonani, Ikamra Nguvela Poventovu, a member of this committee from the IFP from KwaZulu-Natal.
Good morning. The name is Steve Swart from the ACDP. I'm sitting in for Dr. Meshwe, who is giving his apologies. I'll be here for a short while, then I'll have to shoot off to the Justice Committee Chair. My apologies in advance for that. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Mlulik George from the Congress of the People from the Eastern Cape.
Thank you very much. We have received apologies from Member Mochumi. She is admitted in one of the hospitals. Also, we will definitely be joined by Honorable Ms. Kola Barnard and Ms. Chafer. Ms. Kola Barnard is flying from Durban this morning, and she will be joining us, not, I think, it before 9:30 from DA. On the 25th of March this year, Mr. Bezaidenhout of Landbouwwerk Blood handed over to the chairperson of the Portfolio Committee on Police, Honorable Cindy Chikunga, a petition titled Stop Plasmoorde, which had been signed by at least 2,416 signatories. Receiving this petition, the chairperson indicated that she was going to send a copy of that petition to the Department of Police, which was done, and that if the program of Parliament, particularly the Portfolio Committee on Police, allowed it, she would arrange a meeting in which the Portfolio Committee would engage with the farming community. This meeting is talking to that promise. As this committee, we take any form of crime as undesirable and undermining our commitments to equality. We believe that even one death which is related to crime is one death too many, and as such have to be prevented. If it occurs, perpetrators have to account for it, irrespective of color, race, religion, or creed. About 13% of South Africa's surface area can be used for crop production. Primary agriculture contributes a bit over 3% to the gross domestic product in South Africa and provides almost 9% of formal employment. It is in the spirit of these economic contributions by the farming sector that we believe that this meeting is important. our approach is a comprehensive one, an approach that says farm workers, farmers and farm dealers need each other. There is no effective farming without all these stakeholders. We believe that affording an opportunity to one stakeholder to talk to us may necessarily not be holistic, hence our decision to invite all farming community stakeholders. All of us in this meeting, we are leaders at various levels and in various organizations. We are called upon to demonstrate maximum leadership qualities which our country needs. We have the following organizations in our meeting: Agri South Africa, United South African Agricultural Association, Independent Catering Commercial Farm Workers Union, Food and Allied Workers Union, and Rural Development Network. Each organization is allocated 20 minutes for presentation, and in fact, we also have representatives from the Department of Police. Each organization, that is the five organizations I mentioned earlier, excluding the department, is allocated 20 minutes for presentation, which will be preceded by introduction of delegates for that organization. All organizations are requested to please keep to their allocated 20 minutes because we have up to 1 o'clock to be in this house and we have five presentations. All organizations will present their documents and members will write down their questions until we are done with all five presentations. Members will then ask clarity-seeking questions based on the presentations and directed to different organizations. All stakeholder organizations present here may not respond to issues raised by another stakeholder, as indeed we intend not to be a bargaining chamber, nor even a court of law for that matter. Let me therefore take this opportunity to welcome all of us to this very important meeting. I will therefore allow first Agri South Africa, which will be followed by United South African Agricultural Association, the third will be Independent Catering Commercial Farm Workers Union, and the fourth will be Food and Allied Workers Union, and lastly, Rural Development Network, to present its document. We will indeed be strict on time, because if we are not, we might have problems. There is definitely a sitting or meetings at 2 o'clock, which members are expected to attend. So, Agri South Africa, and thank you for being here.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Honorable Chairperson and members of the Portfolio Committee, my name is Andre Botha. I am the chairperson of the Rural Safety Committee of Agri-South Africa. I'm a proud South African and I'm a farmer, and I'm proud to be a farmer. So for the committee, I'm a boer, and I'm a proud boer. Agri-South Africa represents the commercial farmers of South Africa, of all races, of all creeds, of all religions. We are a membership organization, and we have the constituents of our membership enables us to engage with government at all three different levels to ensure that commercial farmers are afforded the opportunity to do their business as indicated in the Constitution and to have the opportunity to live a normal life. Now, in saying that we are commercial farmers, we are also the heartbeat of the rural area. And if the government has got a rural development plan, And we are then seen as the commercial farmers in conjunction with everybody functioning within the rural area. We are then the people that will be affected by the rural development strategy of government. If the rural development strategy is one of the pillars on which the future of this country is built, then surely the commercial farmer and everybody involved in the commercial farming activities are then part of said strategy. Now, this committee deals with crime, and I want to state very clearly in the introduction that South Africa has got very dedicated policemen and women. There's nothing wrong with legislation. There's nothing wrong with systems. South Africa has got a huge morality problem. We have a lack of dynamic leadership, and that creates challenges down to station level within the police system. And through my presentation, I will indicate on where communities identified with the structures and to control of their own, of the outcome of their own areas, what the result has been. Now, if we look at crime in reality, and I didn't come here to tell the portfolio committee that we have a problem. Everybody in this current country is aware that we have a problem. So we're not there to concentrate on the symptoms. We would like to be part of the solution. Everybody knows that crime is a huge pothole in the highway of the prosperity for South Africa. Now, let's look at how deep that pothole is. And again, the statistics is well known. 11,785 attacks, 1,804 murders since 91. We're talking about two attacks per day. We're talking about two farm murders per week, and it's increasing. What is a very worrying aspect is the brutality in which the murders are conducted. The other problem we encounter is theft. We're talking about 365 million value of loss to the industry and to the members of the industry due to an action such as stock theft alone. Now, Madam Chair, I'm sure that everybody in this committee is enlightened enough to realize that no industry can survive with a loss of this magnitude. The total loss to crime, and I'm talking about crime from the stealing of fence poles, small tools, etc., is 269 million. Now, if you start calculating the losses in agriculture due to crime, then it's not a surprise that we are part of a struggling industry and that the food security in South Africa is under threat. Due to the history of the country, a lot has been said about race relationships and labor relations. And I can assure you today, and I extend an invitation to each and every one of this committee and the reporters, if you want to experience Ubuntu, come to the rural areas, come to the commercial farms. The members of AgriSA are responsible citizens of this country who takes upon themselves to live our Christian values. We value our workforce. We comply with legislation. And just to give you an indication, the compliance with the labor legislation after official inspections was in 2008, it was 79%. There was not one gross violation. The other 21% was where people had to make minor alterations to their methods. The fact of the matter is that we in the rural areas are dependent on each other. Without my farm workers, I cannot be. And without me, my farm workers cannot be. On average, every commercial farmer, and I want to stress this is on average, look after about 43 individuals. So if you have one commercial farmer influencing the lives directly of approximately 43 individuals, that's a huge responsibility. Therefore, Madam Chairman, if the school bus does not arrive on time, it is the farmer who gets the children of the workers to the school because they are important to us. If the wife of the farm worker is ill, it is us who take them to hospital because there is no public service in the rural areas. It is us that get involved with the acquisition of food, of clothing, and of other life means for our communities because we are independent on each other. I am here today because I've got a workforce that I can trust that's looking after my interests while I'm serving the interests of the sector. And I want to pay homage to them today. If it wasn't for their dedication, for their hunger to learn, and for their loyalty, there wouldn't be commercial farmers in this country. And we respect that, and we honor our workforce for that. One of the biggest challenges that we are facing in agriculture is irresponsible remarks from, and I want to make this very clear, officials, paid government officials that are supposed to be apolitical, and then also from political leaders, and obviously that is their job, that is how they serve their community and their constituents. I'm a bit worried if we get senior politicians who make derogatory remarks on a certain sector of this country, and we are excluded from being South African, then there's a big question mark put on democracy and the definition of democracy. AgriSouth Africa sees themselves as in partnership with government, and we will fulfill our responsibility. In last month, we had a rural crime conference on the cost of AgriSA, and we involved everybody within the sector and even beyond the sector. And the decisions taken at that conference is forwarded to you in the document that you have. And there we say AgriSA strongly condemns the murder of farmers. The safety approach alone cannot solve the crime problem, and integrated crime prevention and management plan is needed. Now, this is very important. If we do not start to function as South Africans, South Africa has not got a future. And my plea today is that we cease from talking about white farmers and black farmers. If you have a farm, you are a farmer. Why distinguish between white and black farmers? Why do we, when we call the police station, get the feeling that there's a certain approach towards a white farmer and another approach to a black farmer? And we also experience this from senior politicians. And it's not only in my sector, and it's a plea from our side, if we take a decision and to say that we are South Africans, treat us all as South Africans. We need purposeful action against the corrupt elements in the police force, and you know more about that than I do, but we experience it at the end of the day at grassroots level. The hate speech and the inflammatory remarks should not be tolerated. And this is not a threat, it's a promise. We have instructed our members, wherever this is done, we will go to the local police station and we will make a case until we have rid South Africa of this disease. AgriSA accepts the rural protection strategy, and we commend the police force for that. And we honor the police women, men and women who serve their communities. There's also a lot of private initiatives going on, and I want to mention the AgriSecuritas Trust Fund, where farmers support a trust initiative, and we use that money to fund safety and security issues in different areas where government failed to assist that community. Stock theft has an enormous impact on all farmers, especially emerging farmers. And the emerging farmers are getting the short end of the stick as regards to stock theft. Unfortunately, we have individuals within the stock theft unit, and unfortunately, the policy with regards to rural policing has changed. I see they are bringing back the specialized units, but we need more of them. If they steal 10 of my cattle, I might be able to survive. But if they steal 10 of a emerging farmer's cattle, he will not survive. So that is the biggest threat to our industry at this stage, with focus on the emerging farmers. Then we request a sustained improvement of the criminal justice system, a continued record keeping of rural crimes, and this is very important. If we do not have statistics, we do not know the magnitude of the problem, and we cannot focus on getting to resolutions for the problem. We thank the Minister of Defence and the decision by government that has been taken with the South African borders, but we need to uphold the integrity of the South African borders, and we need to be vigilant about this. This is our country, and US government has got a responsibility towards your citizens, of which everybody carrying a green barcoded ID document is part of your constituency. It's your citizens, and you've got a responsibility towards them. There is a farm protocol that has been negotiated with government, with the various government departments, and we plead with the different ministries to ensure that the officials within their departments know exactly what this farm protocol states. Because, Madam Chair, it's very important for us. If I do not have a system where we can monitor who comes onto the farm or not, I will be the next victim. If you go into a private company, a private business in town, even at Parliament here, you go through a certain system. We have to regulate who comes on a farm, who gets access to a farm, because that's where the farm murders occur and the farm attacks occur. People go around because they think they've got this new freedom and they can take whatever they want to. Thank you.
Thank you very much for the presentation. And our next presentation will be from United South African Agricultural Association.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Honourable Chair, members of the Portfolio Committee, my name is Ismail Motala. I am the Head of Transformation, of which rural development is part of the transformation portfolio of USA. We would like to thank this House for giving USA the opportunity to take part in the discussion. USA has been in existence for the past 3 years and represents about 1,800 farmers on approximately 5,000 hectares in the Western Cape. The Honourable George this morning mentioned to me, yes, but you don't look like a farmer. Ek is a boer. Safety and security is extremely crucial to our members. We must take into account that many of our members have lived and have been raised in the rural communities. Many of them come from the farm worker community, and a large number of them are still farm workers and or reside on farms. Crime is on top of their minds. Crime is number one. Crime on farms in rural communities is not racially biased. I think we need to make that very clear. Crime affects our members and their families all the time. It is sad that crime on farms and in the rural areas is reported by the media only when it affects white farmers. And when this crime affects us as black farmers, as farm workers and farm dwellers, if it does enter into any media, it enters on, you know, page 7 and a small block. What makes it worse for black farmers is that black farmers have less resources and limited cash flow. This then means that they are more vulnerable than white commercial farmers who can afford high fences, burglar bars, alarm systems, security guards, and also weapons. The cost of security for black farmers is high, and therefore we are always at risk of being victims of crime. Theft of livestock, theft of equipment, and theft of produce seem to be prevalent on farms of our members. As Mr. Botha also alluded, that if a commercial farmer with 3,000 head of sheep loses 40 sheep, you know, it's a crime. He gets upset, irritated. Many of them get irritated with government. But his business will not suffer. But if a black farmer who has 40 sheep and loses 10, that's 25%, he has very little chance of survival. And this is occurring on a daily basis. These type of incidents are occurring all the time. We are small farmers, and whatever the losses we may incur, how small they may be, it affects directly on our bottom line. Theft of equipment, irrigation equipment, fencing, electrical cables and pumps have seen some of our members' farming activities either reduced dramatically, and in some cases that we know of, they have stopped farming. For example, where cables have been stolen and the borehole pumps have been stripped, the cost of putting that back together amounts to 50, 60, 70,000 rand, and it's just impossible for our farmers to get that kind of funds in order to farm. So what do? The easiest way is that, you know, you walk out, and that is very, very unfortunate. We farm on a very much more smaller scale, and therefore the loss of produce, any amount, affects us dramatically. The above represents some of the direct criminal activities that has a detrimental effect on our farming. Historically, the farming community has had the DOP system. We cannot walk away from that. We cannot deny that. And this has left an absolutely horrible and terrible legacy on our people. This has destroyed the fabric of our society. Today, the abuse of alcohol is widespread in our communities. Sadly, this abuse is affecting both the old and the young. Therefore, this means that we are seeing more and more violence in our communities. This is an everyday norm. Violence against women is ongoing, and much of this violence against women is not reported in most of the cases. This is also true for assaults and beatings that are not reported as victims, and assailants in most of these cases are drunk. Unfortunately, these statistics are not reflected, and therefore there is no solution sought for this problem. Living conditions of farm workers and relationship between commercial farmers and workers is extremely important in order to find solutions with regards to crime. Farm workers on many commercial farms are still living in conditions that are substandard. It is unacceptable when a commercial farmer lives in extreme opulence and farm workers live in absolute squalor. I think that is very, very crucial. We must understand we are all human. We all want to have something nice. But when these huge disparities exist, it becomes a problem. A case in point, over the weekend I drove through Franschhoek, for example, and I passed this fantastic Franschhoek hotel and spa. And it's a five-star thing. 150 meters past the front gate, around the corner, you come up to about six or seven farm workers' houses. And when you see that, and you see the conditions that these farmers are living on the doorstep of something that's worth multi-billion rand, and what is around them, I've also seen some stables for horses, race horses, that look absolutely fantastic. I would live in it, fantastic. But if you look at the conditions that our workers are living in, you look at the horrible conditions Look at the grass and the rubbish that lies around the houses. That is also important. We need to take care of that. That incites people into going into crime. And that's a reality. Short-term solutions that we see would be that we need to increase the number of patrols on our farms. This will assist that police in rural areas are reactive rather than proactive. And we understand that because the vast areas that our police have to cover, it's very difficult to be proactive all the time. We must have a closer working relationship with local government and provincial government in order for us as black farmers to afford security. We must also ensure that a good working relationship with commercial farmers, and it is only together we will be able to resolve much of the crime issues. But we must find a solution that is lasting. We must be able to address, I think, the causes rather than the symptoms. The current moral crisis, and that includes the extraordinary levels of violence, is rather a symptom than an independent phenomenon. High levels of crime, HIV/AIDS infections, rape, incidents of domestic violence, seem to indicate that there's a breakdown of traditional family ties, which historically have formed the backbone of our communities. No rural development strategy will succeed if it does not look into the relationship between morality, religion, education, and communication. The complexities of moral education in schools do not contribute to solving the problem. Socialization is the breeding ground for moral regeneration. Starting with the family, socialization is considered to be the most important process that allows a person to grow into society's norms and values. And we can see that. Early on I mentioned the DOP system. You'll see that the older people who grew up with the DOP system have socialized the younger people in our communities on the similar issues and problems. And the socialization is a huge, huge, huge problem. We need to look at that. The detrimental role of poverty and living condition cannot be underscored. Considering these and other issues, we feel that there is a need to intervene at a level where a comprehensive moral regeneration strategy should be put in place rather than to tackle the individual systems of a bigger problem. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Then it will be Independent Catering Commercial Farm Workers Union. Let's take the next one, Food and Allied Workers Union.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Chairperson. Our apologies first. Mlamleli Phukwana is my name, the Deputy General Secretary of FAO. I'm with Howard Mbana, the project coordinator that is dealing with farm workers within FAO. Our apologies for not having the copy because we've got a very big book that is a policy of FAO on farm workers, but we'll make sure that we leave the information that can be circulated to the members of this meeting. By the way of introduction, Chair, I think we must thank this opportunity of being invited by the Portfolio Committee. And we hope that as Food and Allied Workers Union will be invited in number of times after the instances of violence across the sectors, including the farm workers. Our input, Chair, is in threefold. One, political problems and possible solutions. Two, we'll be talking on problems on working conditions and possible solutions. Three, problems of living conditions and possible solutions. as I've indicated, that we have a policy document that is talking on these issues, but I'll make sure that I'm summarizing the issues. One problem that has been identified by FAO as a concern or a challenge is the land ownership and land and agrarian transformation. The power relations in farms, evictions, voting rights, and the access to identity documents of farm owners, migrant workers, violence against farm workers and farm dwellers. It's a political problem. These are the political problems that we've identified in our summit on farm workers that resulted to this policy document that we are working on. The problems on working conditions, low unionization, and the absence of collective bargaining is one of the issues in number of farms. I'm saying this because in the farms where there are unions, there are less problems in terms of the bargaining issues and discussing these challenges that are facing both the farm workers and the farm owners. But if you go to the workers to the farms where there are no unions, you'll find these problems because there is no platform of discussing the working conditions and bargaining issues. The gender inequality is a problem on farms. The basic conditions of employment, health and safety issues, the labour broking is a big challenge in the farms. Child labour is still a challenge in the farms that we are organising. Problems on living conditions in farms, poor living conditions. I think some of my colleagues they indicated that as a challenge. We are also faced with that problem. Education and training. The issue of public transport is a serious problem on farm, and this resulted to the farm workers to be dependent to the farm owners. I think that has been mentioned by AgriSA, that they are helping the farm workers. But this thing is a problem. It makes the farm workers to be dependent to the farm owners to get in and to get out from the farms. Shelter, water, sanitation, and integrated agri-village or villages. Communication. The communication on all issues is very low in the farms. The farm workers, they don't know what is happening. They are like people who are on the other island. They don't know what is happening in their country. The communication is very, very less in the farms. The food security, because of landless, the farm workers are confronted. I think the agri-SA attested to that they are providing food. And in some instances where we are organized in the process of discussing wages, we are still confronted with this question that we are also providing food to these people. I think AgriSA attested to that they are assisting even on clothing to the farm. And this thing is a problem because it's making farm workers to be dependent to the farm owners. Environmental health, this is still a problem. There are no clinics, healthcare, social security, and other basic services, electricity, and houses. This is still a problem. Although there are sectoral determinations that are regulating these things, I think if we can go, we can take a tour to a number of farms, you'll find out that the South Africans that are still staying in farms because they don't have another home. They don't have the electricity, and it's still a dream and a history to them that they will ever have the electricity because there are no integrated programs that are talking to the local government or the human settlement department versus the farms. When the farm workers are going to get the basic right of having electricity and having RDP houses, is still a challenge because the land is owned by another person and another person is staying in that land permanently. There is no, it's historical, there is no other alternative as to where he's going to stay. The violence against farmers and farm workers, I agree, and that is our position, that is there in the farms and it is a concern to all of us. But we think that the solution to the problem of safety and security of farms needs all of us. When I'm saying all of us, I mean that all the farmers' organizations in the farms, not AgriSA only, AgriSA and other employer organizations. It needs all of us, because if we're not doing that, these safety and security challenges in the farms will go on and go on. The issues that I've raised are the solutions themselves. If we address these issues, we'll minimize the challenges in the farms. And share the issue of, again, safety and security, as I've indicated, that it needs all of us. It is wrong for us as trade unions and the employers' organization like AgriSA, TAU-SA and others, when there is a farm owner that is affected by issues of safety and security, then it becomes a big issue in isolation of the problems that are confronted by the farm workers. When the farm workers are thrown to the lions, it's not a big issue. When the farm owner is killed, it becomes a big issue. Then it becomes a political problem to us and a serious problem that we can't agree with when it comes to the solutions. But we are committed to work together with all the organizations to make sure that we are dealing with these issues, including the issues of safety and security for all in the rural areas. Basically, Chair, that is our input, as I've indicated, that the possible solutions are on the issues that we've indicated. If these issues can be addressed, especially the issue of land ownership, will address a number of issues. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for the presentation. I think we're doing very well on time. And we're going to take a presentation from Rural Development Network. And let me, before allowing you to speak, welcome members who have just joined us. I extend the apologies and thanks that you are here now.
Thank you very much, Chair. Also want to thank the opportunity given to us to do this presentation this morning. Also to thank the members of Parliament that are here to listen us out. My name is Vugile Mafilika. I'm from an organization called Rural Development Network. We are based here in the Western Cape, but we also do work in the Eastern Cape. Our focus as an organization, NPO, is on capacity building. We look into capacitating farm dwellers in the areas of socio-economic needs, such as poverty, unemployment, tenure security, crime prevention, substance abuse, moral regeneration, and we also look at business opportunities. We also provide leadership development to farm dwellers. We also provide them with organizational support. We also have an annual event called the Farm Health Awards, which is basically a program where we assess or we measure all success in the industry economically. I'm not going to dwell much on what has already been raised by the other speakers in terms of the situation that is prevailing on the farms. We all know there's problems there. There's just one area that I would want to focus on, which as RATNET are very much passionate about, which is the area of local drug action committees. We were entrusted by the Department of Social Development to establish local drug action committees throughout the rural areas in the Western Cape. And it was during the establishment of these LDACs that we were confronted by the challenges that faces farm dwellers. The local drug action committees, in essence, are basically aimed at identifying the prevalence of substance abuse on farms, and we may all agree that there is a link between substance abuse and crime. And also to refer victims to treatment centers or rehab centers, but also to look at how to formulate action plans on how to combat substance abuse, of which alcohol is one of the ills. Now, we all know that there are shebeens, there are taverns right on farms, and most of these are not legal. Hence, we have a problem of a 15-year-old having access to alcohol. As a strategy to combat that scourge of substance abuse, the LDACs were then formed in some of the areas, but we were confronted by the problem of lack of participation, one, from the police. In terms of the act, there has to be police representation on these LDACs, but they are not there. In terms of the act, there has to be participation by the farmers themselves. And I must just say that there hasn't been, in any of the LDACs that we've formed, there has been no participation whatsoever by farmers. And that is a concern to us, because there has to be stakeholder representation on these LDACs for them to function properly. Now, that is not the only problem. Another problem that came to the fore was the lack of facilities where we host workshops with the farm dwellers to establish these LDACs. Now, if the farmer doesn't provide any of his facilities, it means the workers in that particular farm would not have access to the training that they need in terms of the LDACs. And there is also a problem of lack of transport to the areas where we are training farmers or farm dwellers. And we are also saying that if the farmers do not provide transport, then it means there won't be any LDACs on that farm. Now, we have tried to raise this through a number of stakeholders, for example, municipalities, to say how best do we establish these LDACs, because it is the only, the way we say, the only forum where we have all the stakeholders, we mean farm dwellers, NGOs, health representatives, educational representatives, and the police to work out and hammer solutions on how to combat crime. We are always confronted by challenges, Madam Chair. I hope maybe AgriSA, as they are here today, would obviously take that into consideration, that when we go out to farms to establish those local drug action committees, they would also make sure that they forward their members and that they participate meaningfully in those LDACs. It is the only structure that we think could somehow come up with solutions to address crime, which in many instances is caused by substance abuse. I think, Chair, I would want to stop right there. I'll take questions where possible.
Yeah, thank you very much. That was the last presentation in the absence of Ikafau. And we are going to take questions from members. Let me again remind members that we will not want to make this meeting a political debate sort of meeting. We will definitely be asking clarity-seeking questions. We will, I want to believe, have time as members of parliament to sit down and discuss this meeting and see how we take forward issues that are raised to members and before the members of parliament by all these important stakeholders. And therefore now I will be taking hands from members. Honorable Mluleke George, Honorable Honorable Patrick Chauke, Honorable Ms. Kola Barnett, Honorable Craig, Honorable Chafer, Honorable Annelies, in that order.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My first question is to you. I thought when you were introducing, you said there will also be a presentation by the police. If I misunderstood you, then it's fine, but I thought there would be a presentation by the police. But if that's not the case, that I think first let me thank the presentation as they were presented to us by all interest groups. But what I must say is there's something very common amongst them, which I'm going to ask all of them. They don't have to answer them collectively. All of them, they are saying one thing, amongst other things, is that working together, they will be able to solve their problems. My question is, I had South Africa, I had the other gentleman, and I had also even the union, but I did not hear from them what are they doing to implement this, because to me, I think they are spot on. They have to work together. But now, the question is, why are they not doing it? There was also the statement that there must be an increase of police patrols in the farms. Especially it was coming from commercial farmers. But at the same time, they also said that, you know, as far as I know, commercial farmers, most of them are private property. There's normally a big gate. So even police, I know they could go in, but now if they say there must be increase of police patrol in the farms, how do they think this could be done? In the light that you're talking about a private property, how do you think? Well, I will not talk for the media, but we can, that the media is only reporting the killing of white farmers. And but I would also ask the gentleman from United South Africa, what are they doing about that? Has they raised that thing with the media? And what was the response? Because life is life. There's no such a thing as black life and white life. Life is life. That's why some of us, the killing of any person is a matter of concern. Especially some of the things that are happening in the farms worry me. You find people, they go to a farmer of 71 years. Or 81 years. You can't find why this thing is done. So I'm saying, I will not talk about this, because some of the things, I was just liking to, the union, they seem to be concerned about some of the things provided by the farm owners. Like the issue of transport, issue of clothing, issue of feeding. My problem is, probably I would agree with them in the sense that that does create dependence. But is it not first to have certain things replacing those things before you can take them away? I'm just worried about Agri South Africa going away and say now, union is against you providing transport. It takes transport when there is no transport. Because first, there must be a transport before you can say the transport that is provided. I'm not saying I understand the point. But of course, the other question is land ownership. Land ownership, it means my understanding of farm workers, some of them are staying right in the farm. Now, if you say they must be built houses, are you suggesting that they must be built outside, which is also going to add other costs and other things? I'm not saying, I just want to understand how do we solve the problem of land ownership, because if you say they must have land, it means the government must provide land outside the farm. It also means now there must be transport and all other things. I'm just saying, is there a way where we can, because we can make sure that what they are saying is done without farm workers losing. My last question to Agri South Africa. There is this thing that there are shebeens and taverns in your farms. Why are you allowing shebeens and taverns? Because I'm assuming again that it's private property. Why are you allowing taverns, or are those taverns and shebeens owned by you, and those people are working also for you to do this business of these taverns and shebeens? Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you very much, Chair. Firstly, I want to appreciate the division of the committee to have this kind of a meeting. I just want to share a story based on my experience where I come from, which is a small town called Swartruggens, 80 kilometers away from Ventersdorp. Chairperson, the issues of farm workers and farmers, it's a problem that we deal with every day in the area where I come from. Having had this opportunity today, I think we need to highlight a number of areas that need urgent attention, and I want to use this opportunity as a member. I work very close, Chair, with the president of the Northern Transvaal Agricultural Union, Mr. Willem Rochier. It's a farmer that represents the number of farmers in the particular northern part of the Northwest Province. In the last 2 months, Chair, farmers in that area lost livestock worth over 50 to 70 million rand from theft. That necessitated mobilization of communities, not only communities, even political parties, especially the only one, which is the African National Congress. In the coastal Swartruggens area, the branch of the ANC joined hand in hand with farmers to try and find out exactly what is the problem of the stock theft. Now, a number of things have been changed. One is that there was an attempt to steal cattle in one farm. Farmers, based on their own intelligence, and together with this unit I'm talking about coming from the branch of the ANC, went to observe, in fact, went to go and find out exactly who are these people who have been stealing cattle in the area. In that night, Chairperson, 14 cattle were slaughtered. There was a shooting between those who were stealing the cattle and the farmers. At the end of the day, one person was shot and killed, and that person happened to be a farm worker. Now, the story goes this way, Chair. That farm worker worked for a white farmer in an area between Moedvale and Swartruggens. This farmer mobilizes farm workers at night to go and steal cattle from other farmers. And farmers, in fact, they've been aware that, in fact, this farmer has been stealing their cattle. Over 150 cattle, in fact. That can be confirmed by Northern Transvaal Agricultural Union, that this white farmer has been using black working farmers to do this work with him at night. Now, luckily enough, because the police were called in and a lot of work was done by the police, and it happened that they arrested that white farmer and his farm workers. Yeah, he was arrested, he went into Coastal Police Station, and then I went there, and I met with the unit responsible of the police dealing with stock theft, and the branch of the ANC and the farmers' watchdog, which they formed with the community there. For me, Chairperson, it really changed the whole thinking around the problems of farming community, generally when it comes to a stock theft. Because the question that I've been asking myself, where is this workers, or when is this ordinary people that live in the farm, where do they take these cattle to if they steal them? They don't own butcheries, you know, in the township or in the farming community or even the township nearby. When someone even has passed away, they'll always go to a white farm and buy a cattle. Now, the problem, Chairperson, is that this problem of white farmers and black laborers, it's something that really needs to be addressed. Because it was clear to me that this using of farm workers, this abuse of farm workers, because one farm worker died, in fact. And what you discover is that the very same farm worker who died was shot, in fact, by other farmers, was not even a South African. He's a Mozambican chap who did not even have a passport or an ID book. So again, it brings in the point of abuse of foreigners who, most of them, in fact, are trapped in those farmers. And it's something that Agri South Africa is fully aware of, that we have this problem. The unions, the farm unions, they know very well, in fact, that the problem is not only that there are these black farmers, black workers who are living in these farms who are creating these problems. They themselves are creating these problems. They themselves are creating this problem. Therefore, Chairperson, I'm saying that out of all the presentations that were made today, I want to go back to the point raised by Mluleki George that says the solution, in fact, lies with their commitment to resolve this problem. It means that them having to come together, Agri, South Africa, FAO, and all other formations, if they were to come together, Chairperson, because every day we work with the police. Every day the police are engaging with us, they are briefing us, we know how much work that the police are doing. And I will tell you that in an area where I come from, the unit that is dealing with stock theft, I'm in touch with that process. We are engaging together with that unit and farmers in that particular area. But the solution, I think, rests with all of these commissions. So therefore, Chairperson, out of this engagement, as we'll be meeting, I think, as a committee, we must be able to come up with a position that says all these bodies will have to come together and resolve this challenge together with government. Together with government, because the issues of political speeches and what those are just minor issues, Chair, to a bigger problem that every day confronts farmers and farm workers. So therefore, my appeal, Chairperson, is going to be that says that let us find a way out of this meeting. This must be sort of a beginning. And I was wishing that the Northern Transvaal Agricultural Union was going to be part of this meeting today, just to share this experience. Very detailed. In fact, I've just cut it short because of the time limit. It's very, very detailed work. We work very, very close with these people on the ground. And we're finding solutions every day together with the police and communities and political parties. Especially I'm singling out the ANC because that the ones, the branch of the ANC in Coastal is the branch that works with farmers every day. So on that note, therefore, Chairperson, I'm saying that let us find a way of bringing all these bodies together at some point, initiated by Parliament, I think it need to be, initiate this, have a seminar maybe for 2 days, and let us come out of that seminar, Chairperson, with a position, and a position that says, this is what we expect. The issues that were raised about the last point, the issues of the stock fells and the taverns and what, Chairperson, most of these things are run by farmers. Month end, they buy alcohol. In fact, every weekend, they buy these cartoons, these shake cartoons and beers. They run those shops in the farms. There's not a single person that owns a tuck shop in a farm. All those tuck shops are run by farmers. Because what's happening is that after payment, month end, the worker will have to pay off the loans that he has taken during the week. Either it may be alcohol, a bag of mealy meal, and all of that. And these are things that we must address. And I think these are very issues. On that note, Chairperson, thank you very much. I think we'll engage further on a number of these issues. Thank you very much.
Ms. Kolabana.
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, I'm going to put my questions to all members. I don't know who will answer, but they're very different sectors represented here today. Look, one has to ask, as indeed I have asked the minister in a question to him, why is the portfolio committee, which had instructed the ministry to insert the figures of farmer tax in the annual report, why it was suddenly decided to remove that? It is not in the latest report. And in my research, I have found such vastly different figures of the attacks on farms. The murder figures are different. The numbers of attacks and on whom, they differ so markedly between organizations that I'm hoping we can sort of get down to the reality. I've seen figures literally ranging, murder figures from just over 1,000 to up to 3,000 murders on farms. I don't know who to believe anymore, so maybe some clarity from the representatives here. Then I would also ask the organizations. I'm seeing some very disturbing situations happening on farms. Where I in fact had a report again last night of a farm in KwaZulu-Natal where the owners have attempted to follow the law of the land to the letter. A worker stole and was given a first warning, stole again, was arrested, was convicted, and is now refusing to leave, although is no longer in their employ, and is saying if they don't build him a house elsewhere off the farm, the repercussions will be threatening their lives. The next door neighbor, an 89-year-old, has already been gang raped. The situation is very difficult on the farms at the moment, and that many people have moved on to the farm. They attempted to mediate. They asked a lawyer to come and bring a document in Zulu, and it was torn up and thrown in their faces. So there are difficulties on the farms that we cannot ignore, and that the situation is becoming extremely dangerous for our farming community. The fact that we had to import grain this past year was one of the most shocking revelations we've had in this country for a very long time. So I'd like to hear from the organizations represented here, and bearing in mind the police assured this committee and the farmers that when they disbanded the commandos, there would be no security vacuum for them on the farms. I want to know what their experience has been in relation to that statement. And I also want to know, and we've heard in this very committee on our oversight visits, that police were finding lost cattle and then charging exorbitant amounts for the owners to reclaim their own cattle. And it was horrendous. I mean, I believe the chair was there, that we heard that the local people were actually having to virtually buy their cattle back from the police who were allegedly finding them. And now we're keeping them until such time as amounts of money were paid. And I mean, we all, I think, found that sort of sideline business on the part of the police inexcusable in the extreme. So, again, you're representing areas from all over the country. I'd like to hear from you whether you're receiving good service from the police or if, in fact, this is a much worse problem than we have come to believe. Thank you.
Thanks, Chairperson, and also thanks to the various organizations who've come to present today. I think one would want to start just by saying that any victim of crime is one victim too many. And it's regardless of whether it's a farm worker or any other citizen of the country, it's one victim too many. And I think that's one of the messages we must send out. But I just wanted to, for me, there was two things that came out that I found quite interesting, that all the presenters, all the organizations here seem to be saying that that the South African Police Service needs to be more effective, that they need to be doing more, that they don't have enough resources, etc. That seems to be a message that's coming across. But none of the organisations seem to actually say what is it that they would like to see the police doing, what is it that they feel needs to be done. There's some suggestions made. But other speakers have said that, you know, the other theme that's come across is about the fact that if we work together, we can actually do much more. And I'm just wondering whether it wouldn't be, it in fact would be very helpful to us, I think, whether all the organisations here could actually discuss amongst themselves and set a date to actually come together and talk amongst themselves about what is it that they feel the South African Police Service needs to do. You see, because it's very easy to come here and just say the police are not doing enough, they don't patrol enough, but and yet some of the inputs here acknowledge the vastness of farms, of farming areas, etc. So I think it would be quite helpful to us if all of them could actually talk together and come back and say, look, this is what we feel the South African Police Service needs to do. And it also ties into the issue of stock theft, because that's something that's come up quite strongly from two of the presentations, the issue of stock theft and the impact that it's having on the economy and on the farming community themselves. And there again, I think one would want to, I think we'd want to get an understanding. Where are the areas that the stock theft unit is doing well in, and where are the areas that there are weaknesses and that yourselves feel they could actually improve? Chairperson, that's really my input. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would just like to know, as a matter of interest, AgriSA, how many farmers do you actually represent across the country, and what percentage of the farmers in the country do you represent? I reiterate the question about the numbers. They are such divergent numbers, and one is too many, but still, we still would like to know what exactly is the situation. You say, this is also for Agri, all these are for Agri so far. You say that AgriSA accepts the rural strategy, the police rural protection strategy. What do you mean by that? Do you mean it's sufficient? And if not, why not? And what needs to happen? And I would also like your response as to why the allegation has been made that you aren't involved, that the farmers in general are not involved in the LDACs. Why is that? To try and combat substance abuse on farms. Farm and Allied Workers Union, you mentioned that one of the main issues to be addressed, I don't think he's listening to me. Farwer. You mentioned that one of the issues to be addressed is the issue of land ownership. What do you mean by that? What do you mean it needs to be addressed? And how do you mean it? How do you think it should be addressed? I do think, Madam Chair, we actually need the details from the police of the rural safety strategy. We haven't actually received it. And without that, I think it's also difficult for us to comment on whether we think that's sufficient or not. And finally, I just also would like to appeal, you know, people accuse other people of making generalizations, and then they go do exactly the same thing. One white farmer was killed. He happened to be a very prominent white farmer. That's probably why an issue was made about it. There are many other white farmers who are killed who we never hear about and who are attacked often, and it's not an issue. I mean, we don't know about it. There are also many black farmers who are killed and farm workers. But very often the reason why is because the organizations involved are making it public and making it known, and I just want to slot in with Mr. George in the sense of, if it's happening and we aren't aware of it, then what are the organisations who are representing them doing about making us aware of it? And I think you need to perhaps take that a bit more seriously and let us know, because it is true. One murder is too many. It doesn't matter what colour the person is. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Also to the presenters, thank you very much for the presentations. I think I want to align myself with many of my colleagues who have indicated, and maybe that is one of the good things that come out of a forum like this. We have indicated that it's clear from what everybody has said that the solution lies in a common solution and not in different islands trying to find different solutions. And The reality of the matter is that the rural community, and I would almost like to refer to the rural community rather than to farmers and farm workers, etc., because I believe what we have is crime in the rural community. It's a broader issue. It is the whether it's a farm worker or farm dweller or farmer who are the victim of that crime. In the end, what we need to address as a whole is the rural safety around those areas. And I think it is exactly because we compartmentalize ourselves as either farmers, farm workers, farm dwellers, and don't have this common approach that we still have differences in terms of how we deal with it instead of taking hands and working together with it. So, again, aligning myself with what other people have been saying, I think it is important that the organizations who are here today, and I would like to hear from them, Chair, what are they doing to reach out to one another, to actually speak to one another and to try and work together in order to find solutions. The fact of the matter is, if we speak about farmers, I think also the media, as is politicians, even those organizations who represent farmers or farm workers, tend to think about farmers in terms of white farmers, and it's not true. If you look at Warmer in the Vaal Triangle, which adjacent to the Vaal Triangle, a lot of that land is actually in the hands of upcoming emerging farmers, and they are suffering tremendously under crime, and they're suffering tremendously. Their lives are threatened on a daily basis as well because of the crime situation. And I, for that reason also, I think it is important that we get away from this thing about us and them, but talk about how do we as a community who are in the rural areas address the problem. I also, Chairperson, believe that it is unfortunately true that we do hear more about one type of murder than the other. And I would also like to urge all here, all representatives here, to speak out as loudly if one of your own are the ones that have been the guilty party. Because we don't hear that often enough either. We want to hear when it is a farmer who has done something wrong. The Agri-SA, the Transvaal Agricultural Union, to speak out against somebody who has done wrong. But we also want the farm worker unions, to speak out against their own doing something wrong. I think it's extremely important that our focus on this approach should be one of it affects all of us, and therefore we need to address it as a unit and not as in small islands. Jefferson, I would like to agree with my colleague, Mr. Schneeman, that we actually do get a briefing at some point from SAPS around the rural safety program. I think also that is maybe one of the things that lacks in today's presentation in terms of the presenters who are here, is not being clear to us where the shortcomings are in terms of that rural safety program, so that we can actually focus on those shortcomings and see that it gets corrected. But I want to raise something that the police have raised with us, that I think I would also like to question both Agri-SA and the unions on it. Is their involvement in sector policing? Because we can just use our visit to Mpumalanga as an example, where the police have said to us, we've got a problem to get some farmers to cooperate in terms of the sector policing in their area. Now, this should be, we've got also, you need your farm workers and your farm dwellers also to be part of that. But they're also only going to be part of it and be able to be part of it if their farmers where they work are actually taking part in that and see it as a positive way of dealing with crime. So I would like to know from Agri-SA, but also from the unions, how do they experience the sector policing and whether they are actively involved and whether they actually also encourage their members to get involved? Because this has been a problem that the police has been raising with us, a challenge, I should rather call it, that communities are not getting involved, especially rural communities. Now, where sector policing in urban areas are working and where businesses are involved and role players are involved, it makes a difference. And we're not saying it's perfect, but at least it's one way of dealing with it. So can I just ask those two questions? Thanks, Chair.
Well, thank you very much, Chairperson. I must take the cue of thanking the presenters for their presentation. I just have only a few, about three questions. Child labor. It seems as if the farmers and the farm workers don't deal too much about the child labor. I just wanted to know, how are you trying to solve that problem of child labor? If I'm talking about child labor, Chairperson, I'm talking about all the facilities of a child, that is the schooling, everything, health, everything. If I'm talking about the child labor, if you are involved with the child labor, there are so many things that the child should have, which is not a privilege, it's a right for a child to have, if they can respond to that. And secondly, there is somebody who spoke about poor living conditions. Poor living conditions. What is the problem of why people are living in a five-star house and the other one is living in a squalor? But those people are worker and employer and employee. Why are they? Why is it so different between them? Because that causes a lot of hatred between themselves. Why? What causes that? The last chairperson, there is a presentation which was done by somebody who's talked about local drug communities. Are they the farmers, farm workers, and unions involved in trying to curtail drug trafficking and human trafficking within the farming community? Drug trafficking, drugs within the farming community, and human trafficking. If I talk about human trafficking, I'm trying to align myself with others who are saying some people who are coming from other countries are being misused, because they will get whatever they want to get because of the survival. Is that a problem? If it's a problem, how do you think it should be solved? Because the problem is within yourselves, and you must try to find a solution within yourselves or among yourselves to solve it before we can come in. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Maybe I just also have a few questions, but I just want to relate just a story. I was driving from Joburg, and somewhere in Carolina, around Carolina, I gave a lift to a lady who was visiting a boyfriend who is working in one of the farms between Butler's and Carolina. Because I was from a funeral, I had a T-shirt which had been issued to me, and that funeral, and I put the T-shirt at the back seat of my car. And the lady sat there. I want to believe that when I had to drop her off the car, she took the T-shirt, and I was not away. I drove home the following day looking for my T-shirt. It was not there. I was so angry because I had given her a lift for free. I decided to go back to the farm. In the morning, on a Sunday, yes, went back to the farm because I'd seen the farm. And in the farm, there was the house of the owner with a lady. I don't know whether the husband was there or not, but I spoke to the lady who could speak my language, Swati. And she just shouted the boyfriend because she also was aware of the girlfriend. But I decided to go to the house where the boyfriend was staying. In a house smaller than my bedroom, there were about 10, 12 people sleeping in that house. The girlfriend who was visiting a boyfriend together were sleeping in that house. And many of the people that were there were adults sleeping in one house, all of them. I could not believe my eyes, but I then understood the reason why it is easy for anybody to do anything, including stealing my T-shirt. Because the situation was such that there is no way you could live under those circumstances. And the question is, you speak to somebody who sits in a first world country house that is the farmer, next to her, it's a condition that you cannot describe. Because it's not just about the house itself, but it's about the condition under which they have to live. A boyfriend and a girlfriend. Women and men in one room. One room. Something unbelievable, but it's really happening. It is still happening today as we speak. That house is still there, and those workers are still there, and it is happening. I'm just relating the story. I can relate more and more of them. I did live at some stage as a person in the farm for about 3 years. I still have some flashback on the life, you know, running away from somebody who is running, you know, driving to you. You don't know whether he's going to shoot at you or kill you and so on and so forth. But when you are not in his farm, you can speak and laugh and so on and so forth. These are the things that are happening, which we can maybe minimize. But my question will be to say, really, it's a very stupid question, but I just want to ask it. Who is stealing your stock? Who? And who is the customer of these stealings? Who is buying your stock? Who is stealing and who is buying your stock? I'm sitting here with so many cases of stock theft. Sometimes if it is a black farmer, he will be saying it is the white farmer who is stealing and selling. They collude with magistrates and so on. Who is doing this? Sometimes the white farmer will say it's a black farmer, it's the worker, it's border lines and so on and so forth. But who is doing this? I just want also to check, particularly, I'm asking Agri South Africa and USAAA, is your membership open to all farmers? Who are your members? I think my other questions have been asked by members, but my other question will be related to foreign nationals, particularly illegal foreign nationals. Is it true or not true that some of farmers employ these people? In December, when the Department of Police came to Mpumalanga to launch its campaign for festive season policy, we decided to join a roadblock. As we were there, a huge truck full of Mozambique nationals came and was stopped. A huge one, full. And none of them had any paper for being in South Africa. But all of them are working in South Africa. I just want to check as to whether indeed as farmers, but maybe even as unions, you are aware of this problem. And what is it that you are saying? Because when these people sometimes, I'm not saying they are responsible for crime, because statistics might also prove that maybe it's not a lot of crime that is committed by them only. But also they contribute in one way or another. I'm not saying they are not or they are. But is this being allowed? Are you? What are you doing as these important structures to ensure that your members are not involved in these practices that are illegal by their nature? We will break for 10 to 15 minutes. Time now is 10:30. We'll come back at 10:15. As we come back, at 10:45, I mean, as we come back, we'll then allow the stakeholders to respond to questions
and probably will allow another 10 or follow-up questions from members. Let's break for tea.